I'm delighted to say, to talk all things Champions League semi-final previews and a little bit of La Liga as well. Mr. Ben Haywood from Goal.com joining me on the line today. Ben, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show, man. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm good. Thanks, Ollie. First guest of the day. That's quite an honour.
First guest
Excellent
of the day and first guest of the week, mate. So you've got to set the barrier now for everybody else to try and vault over, mate. So we're pretty.
And I was the first guest of the year, remember, as well.
Yeah, you are one for breaking new ground on World Football Daily. I tell you what, we'll try and make sure that you're the first guest for next season as well, just so we can keep the tradition going.
That'd be good, mate. That'd be good.
But before we can get to next season, we have to, of course, finish this season. And the La Liga title's pretty much, as we've said for the last few weeks, wrapped up in Barcelona's hands. But it's those Champions League semi-finals that are just so luring this week. And Javi Martinez saying that this is the best time for Bayern to be playing Barca. What does he mean by this, Ben?
Not quite sure what he means by that, actually. Because, obviously, Barcelona are in a very... are in a good moment as well. If you look at their last two Champions League knockout ties, you know, they haven't come through those very convincingly. You know, they lost in Milan, and then they had that great comeback, didn't they, at Camp Nou. And against Paris Saint-Germain, obviously, they only went through on away goals. So perhaps, in a way, you know, with Messi just coming off an injury as well, perhaps that's what he means, that you know, Barca aren't the favourites that they would have been perhaps a year or two ago in this one.
Does that change Barca's approach at all, the fact that they aren't the favourites going into this tie, arguably, this time around?
I don't think so. I think Barca, you know, if they play to their full potential, they're normally the best team, aren't they? I mean, this is different. I mean, Bayern have been sweeping aside pretty much everyone this season, so it's really going to be interesting to see a team that can go out and match Barca playing football as well, that's why it's going to be such an epic tie, isn't it, this one? But I don't think it really changes their approach. I think if they play to their potential, that they feel that they can win, but Bayern obviously feel the same.
And if you're
I think it's going to be an open one.
If you're Barca, you could feel like you could beat anybody. This Bayern side will put up a stern test, though. Where do you think Barca need to be wary of being exposed in their style and in their formation coming up in the midweek?
Well, I think defence is a worry, isn't it? Because they, you know, Barcelona haven't looked so solid this season. They've had lots of injuries. Obviously, you know, Puyol isn't going to be ready, I don't think, to feature in this one. Piqué is on a yellow card. You know, if he were to get suspended for the second leg, that would be disastrous. Abidal's coming back. You know, he looked good the other day. First start in over a year. But you'd be wary of kind of throwing him into a big game like this. Adriano's suspended. So they're going to have to sort of juggle in defence a little bit, and Bayern can really cause them problems. All the great attacking players that they have, you know, with Ribery and Robin, you know, and the strikers as well, and Bayern have height, you know, aerial strength, you know, they'll definitely cause lots of problems in defence.
We've seen when centre-backs at Barca have been out that Song and others have come in and stepped into that centre-back role. Will Barca continue to do that, bringing in maybe a defensive midfielder as opposed to an out-and-out centre-back? Or will that change considering how good this Bayern attack is going forward?
I'm not sure what they'll do, actually. I mean, they have options, obviously. They could play someone like Bartra, who has impressed when called upon this season. Obviously, they've played Song at times, and he's come in and he's done pretty well. He's on a yellow card also, but he's someone who can come in and certainly do a job in a game like this. You know, physically very strong, good pace, obviously not tall, but he certainly has the attributes to be able to do well, perhaps against an attack like Bayern's. So there's plenty of options there, and you know, I guess it remains to be seen what Tito will go for.
We saw on the weekend as well that David Villa stayed on as opposed to being brought off early in that game against Levante. There's been a lot of talk in the Spanish press that could signal that Villa might not be starting in midweek. Do you get that instinct at all? Or do you think that with the success that they've had with Villa in that lineup this season, that he has earned a right to play in the big one?
I don't know. I think I certainly think a lot of the players who started that game at the weekend probably won't be starting the game in Germany. And I feel that Alexis, you know, with his recent his last few games, he's scoring a few goals and racking up a few assists. And I think he's probably moved slightly ahead of Ian now in the pecking order. So we'll have to see. And it also obviously depends on Messi. You know, if Messi is ready to start, then that means that we might see Villa on the bench. But if Messi is only ready to play as a substitute, then I think that means we'll definitely see Villa in the team.
There was talk not so long ago, midway through this season, of Sanchez not really coming to fruition, not being the player that Barca were expecting, and maybe this could be his last season. Is there still that talk around Alexis Sanchez? Because as you say, he's been improving in the latter stages of this year.
That's right. I think that talk is still around, and I certainly wouldn't guarantee that he'll be here next year. But he has come good over the last few weeks, and that's great news for Barcelona, you know. They've certainly struggled this season, for goals when Messi hasn't been scoring them, and that's kind of a long-term problem that they've had. But, you know, we've seen Pedro with Spain, for example, scoring a lot of goals and struggling for goals with Barca. Teo's another option. He's come to the side and he's been setting up a few and scoring a few. So perhaps, Messi's going to get a bit of help now, which will be really good for Barcelona going forward.
Do you expect the game against Bayern this week, do you expect it to be as open as it potentially could be? Or do you think that we will see maybe Barca kind of hustling a hell of a lot more than we've seen in some of these Champions League games, especially that, for instance, that first game in the San Siro? Will we see less of that and more of Barca with a real intensity of trying to snuff out Bayern's attacks as high up the pitch as possible?
Well, I think both teams will play their natural game, but I think both teams will also be very wary, at what the other can do. Away goals could be crucial in a tie like this, in any tie. I do think that they'll want to play the natural game and they'll attack, but certainly you have to be careful against a team like Bayern, the same Bayern against Barca. So there'll certainly be a healthy respect for their rivals, and maybe that will make Barca a little bit more defensive in this game, but they're certainly wanting way goal, because after what happened in Milan, they had to pull quite an epic game out of the bag in the second leg. And if they were to get a similar result in this game, I wouldn't really fancy them getting through this. So they'll definitely want to score an away goal. I think they'll put a lot of emphasis on that, but there'll be an element of caution as well.
As will Madrid as well in Dortmund. Is there as much need, do you think, for Madrid as there is for Barca to grab that vital away goal as they take on Borussia Dortmund this week?
Well, I think so. I think obviously this one's interesting also because Madrid and Dortmund met in the group stages, and Dortmund got the better of Madrid over those two games. You know, they won 2-1. In Dortmund, and then in the second group game at the Bernabeu, they drew 2-2, and actually Mesut Ozil scored right at the end to equalise. So they were very close to winning that one as well. I do think Madrid need an away goal. I think they need to be much stronger in defence than they were in that group match in Germany. But things have changed slightly since then. You know, that it was early season. Madrid were off form. They were losing games. They had all their left backs were out injured. They played Michael Essien at left back, which was suicide really, and they were badly exposed down that flank in the group game. I think Mourinho will have learned his lessons from those two matches.
How much do you think will both managers have been able to learn from the sides that they played earlier in the season to the sides that they've played now? Do you think this Madrid side has changed more than maybe the Dortmund side has in this time since they last met in the group stages?
I do. I certainly do. I think it's changed in terms of, not in terms of personnel, it's the same players, but in terms of momentum and morale. Madrid had their problems early season, which we talked about before. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo was going through his sadness, and the strikers weren't really doing it. They are now. Problems in defence with set pieces. You know, even Diego Lopez has come in for Casillas, and everything just seems to be kind of coming together for Madrid at the moment, where it wasn't earlier on in the season. You know, the problems with the press, you know, reports of bust-ups between, you know, Mourinho and the players, all of these off-the-field problems, you know, and Madrid were really struggling. And now, you know, since the end of January, since the Copa del Rey semi-final and the victory over Manchester United, everything's kind of really coming together for them. So I think, you know, both teams will have learned from that tie, obviously. But I think just, you know, as Klopp has said as well, Madrid are kind of a different animal as the one they faced in the group stages.
There's been a big emphasis in some of the Spanish press on Mesut Ozil and his impact on this Madrid side and the impact he should be able to have against Dortmund because of the lack of playing time that he's had this year, so he's almost fresher. Do you think, having only completed 9 full matches in the league and 3 full matches in the Champions League, do you think that's a positive for Ozil because he will have the fresh legs compared to some of the other Dortmund midfielders? Or is that almost take him out of that match tweakness, if you will, the fact that he's not competed in full-length games very often this season?
I think it could be a factor, for sure. And I think perhaps equally or even more importantly is the fact that he's really hit form, hasn't he, in the last kind of few weeks. Scored 2 goals in each of the last 2 league games, and he's just looking back to his brilliant best. And when he is at his best, he's almost unplayable. So certainly it's great news for Madrid to see Ozil back to this kind of form and timely, especially, you know, with Modric set to miss this one. Ozil could be very important.
Diego Lopez picked up a knock on the weekend as well. Does that change the situation between he and Casillas for who's going to start in between the posts for Madrid this weekend, Ben?
I don't think it does, Oliver, because, you know, he did pick up a knock. Couldn't take his goal kicks. Albiol was having to take the goal kicks. But he stayed on. He completed the 90 minutes, and I don't think it's anything too serious. I mean, you know, the news coming out of Madrid, out of the club, is that is not something too serious, and that they're not too concerned about it. So I think, you know, just for the fact that he's been playing very, very well, I don't think they'll, unless he really is struggling, I don't think they'll be making a change.
What does this situation have on the long-term impact on Diego Lopez's and Iker Casillas' careers? If Lopez leads this side to second place and to a Champions League final position and potentially even the Decima, the fabled Decima that Madrid fans have been waiting for so long, does that change Casillas' place at the club, or does it just mean Diego Lopez can be moved on and deserves to go to a bigger and better club at the end of this season?
I don't know. I mean, he's done fantastically well, to be honest, ever since he came to the side. I think there was one mistake he made at Deportivo in the league when he conceded the goal, a bit of a soft goal, a long shot from Ricky. But apart from that, he's been absolutely brilliant. And you have to say, at the moment, you know, Mourinho is getting criticised here because, you know, Casillas is the darling of the Madrid media, you know, club symbol, legend, nice guy, World Cup winner, Spain captain, everything. But, you know, you can only play one goalkeeper. And at the moment, you know, since Diego Lopez came into the side, they've gone on this incredible run. And it wouldn't send out the right kind of message now to drop him. As to what it means for the future, it kind of remains to be seen. And I think a big thing is what will happen with Mourinho. I mean, if Mourinho leaves in the summer, what will the next coach do? Who will it be? You know, I think a lot of coaches would restore Casillas. And I think Mourinho might do as well. But I think he's aware that at the moment, you know, you've got to stick with this guy after everything that he's done in the team. And he's the man on form.
And Mourinho, not opposed to playing the mind games a bit in the press as well, was saying on Friday that Klopp talks a lot and Klopp's kind of replied to him. Now, are we getting the kind of cross the continent mind games being played out between these two managers?
Oh, definitely. I mean, Mourinho has always said, hasn't he, that these games start, you know, before the players are on the pitch. They start in the press room, and that's his philosophy. And he's always indulged into a little bit of mind games. And certainly, it's ironic, isn't it, for Mourinho saying that anybody talks too much. because he talks a lot also. But, you know, I thought Klopp's response was good because he played it down and said, yeah, actually, I do talk too much. And that he sort of laughed it off with a bit of humour. He wasn't taking the bait. And I think that's the right thing to do in his position. As Guardiola used to do, just kind of laugh it off and get on with it. So I'm not sure. Certainly the mind games have started, but I'm not sure Mourinho's picked up too many points with that one.
Do you think that actually is a negative then for Mourinho, for his mind games himself, because somebody's not playing? You know, at Manchester United, at Liverpool, he had Fergie and Rafa Benitez who would get involved in this sort of thing. Do you think not having an answer back, as Pep Guardiola has had done in the past, does that affect Mourinho negatively?
I mean, it can do. I mean, he wants a response. He wants the other guy to crack, you know, but these guys are smart too. I remember before the Champions League final in 2010, I was at the Bernabeu at the Louis van Gaal's press conference. And again, you know, Mourinho had come out, I can't remember what it was, had come out with some prickly kind of statement about Van Gaal and about Bayern. And Van Gaal answered the question, said, I'm not giving him what he wants. And I thought that was really interesting. So yeah, Mourinho knows exactly what he's doing. But I think it's good. It's a good thing for Klopp. I mean, I think he did the right thing to not respond and just laugh it off.
Ben, we've taken up far too much of your time today, but if I can just have one more quick one before we go do you not think Malaga's club president and owner, Al Thani, coming out and saying how disappointed he was in their big loss to Valencia this weekend, is that a bit rich coming from a guy who's promised this club the world and given very little back after what he seemed to have promised this side?
I think it is. I mean, bit of a comical figure, isn't he, this guy? I mean, after their Champions League exit, he came out and said that it was racism, didn't he? And
yeah.
Didn't really kind of back up that statement with anything tangible. And criticizing the team at this stage is not helpful in any way. And like I said, after the Champions League comments that he made, you know, he's better kind of looking after the club's interests, making sure the wages are paid, making sure the appeal is ready for them to fight this European ban. I think he'd be much more kind of better off, you know, looking at how he can help the team as opposed to criticising a side that's done so well, you know, despite all their troubles over the last kind of 6 months to a year.
Because he's described it as a performance with no spirit at the Mestalla this weekend. I mean, would there be more spirit in this Malaga side, surely, if the bills were paid and the appeal was ready and this Malaga side thought it could actually compete in European football again next season?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I'm not sure how much this guy actually knows about football. It's kind of talking like a fan, isn't it, a little bit, you know? Mm. Malaga have shown incredible spirit this season. And, you know, their run in the Champions League was just amazing. And, you know, had they not had spirit, they would have collapsed a long time ago, you know, with all the problems they had in the summer and the debts and the uncertainty and the player sales. I think what they've done has been amazing. So I think it's very harsh on the players in the squad and on Pellegrini to come out and criticise the team in this way. And as you say, you know, had he been helpful, you know, the spirit may have been better. But I don't think there's anything wrong with Malaga's team spirit. Every team has an off day and they had an off day. And I think, you know, you're the owner or the investor, you've got to get behind your team, you know, because these are important times for Malaga.
Very important times indeed, as they are still at the moment have that ban on European competition for next season hanging over their head. Ben, it's an absolute pleasure to have a chat with you today as the first guest of the week. And it's a pleasure to get your thoughts on the big Champions League semi-final games coming up as well, mate. We look forward to getting you back on the show as soon as we can.
Absolutely, Ollie. Brilliant.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers there. Ben.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Ben Hayward there from Goal.com joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Spanish football in the big build-up to, of course, Tuesday night's event in Munich, Bayern taking on Barca. And Wednesday night, we have Madrid taking on Dortmund in Dortmund. Should be fantastic pair of semi-finals going on. And